Good afternoon, Om Shanti. So, souls in bodies are still wandering in, but that's okay. So this afternoon, we're really delighted that we've got the opportunity to share with you some quite marvellous initiatives that the Brahma Kumaris have been doing for many years on the environment side of activities. And as we've been hearing and talking about in the classes the last 2 days in particular, we understand that there's a close linkage between our spiritual life and how that interacts with the rest of life on this beautiful planet. So to help us understand more of that, we have our brother Golo. Golo has been living most of his, well, not all, but much of his life in India for the last 30 years or so, helping develop these initiatives that he'll share with us today. Working in India is not an easy thing. There are not only the Indian bureaucracy, but the climate, language issues, and when you're working with new technology that's often coming from overseas as well, then there are all sorts of other issues. So I think Golo needs an extra medal for patience and perseverance. But thank you. After Golo is going to share some information, and also I should note, Sister Sonia, if you like to stand up, Sonia, many have met you now, but Sonia is also a key part of the environment initiatives that Golo will also talk about. Thanks, Golo.
Yeah, Om Shanti. And thanks very much for coming today. We just came up this afternoon from Shantivan. There was a huge conference going on called the Global Summit, and the President of India was also there, Draupadi Murmu. She is a member of the Brahma Kumaris, by the way, which is something we still can't believe. And it was all about climate change, the summit. Quite interesting. So today I share a bit about our Brahma Kumaris Environment Initiative, and also share a bit about our renewable energy projects we started almost 30 years ago here in the Brahma Kumaris Institution. And a little bit also how our mind is connected to all of that and what's the remedy for all the problems we are right now in. Okay, let's start straight away with the bit bad news. That's the news about climate change. Here you can see a temperature graph from the year, I hope you can see, yeah, you can see. This is a temperature graph from the year 1000 onwards, and the blue line is the carbon emissions and the red line is the temperature. And you can see that from 1750 onwards, 1800, exactly when the Industrial Revolution started, also the global temperatures went up. And we're now above 400 parts per million of carbon, CO2, in the atmosphere. And our temperature also has reached peak. I think we're now close to 1.6 or 1.7 degrees above pre-industrial average. And if you look this year, you can see that in the last 10, 20 years, almost all the time, records have been broken around the world. And you just look up the news, you know, news about flooding, droughts, and so on is everywhere nowadays. So climate change has actually become a reality. And one of the reasons why this is all happening is that around the planet there are the jet streams. And the jet streams are high-speed winds in the upper troposphere. They can reach a speed up to 200 kilometers. And these jet streams, they have changed their behavior. They have slowed down, and they are now have started to meander more like a river. So you can see here the orange going around the globe. That's the jet stream. And they have changed their behavior, and that's why we suddenly get a high pressure system, which stays all the time. Or we get a low pressure system with rain, which stays also all the time, which becomes stationary. And then we become this strong rain for 3 months, or we get this heat wave for 4 months in Europe, and the weather doesn't change because jet stream has become weak. And here you can see in this slide the tipping points in climate. They have been identified about 6 years ago by the Potsdam Climate Research Institute, which is the leading research in Germany. And these are all the major systems which control our climate. And there are 12 tipping points, and 8 out of the 12 tipping points, they're going to move now. So you have here the blue areas. These are the cryospheres, or you can say the areas with ice, North Pole, South Pole, but also the glaciers, they start to melt. You have the red one, which are the circular patterns like Indian monsoon, El Nino, African monsoon, and the North Atlantic circulation. And all these systems have changed. They're all changing now. And this year we had a very funny monsoon in India. You might have, when you arrived, you might have experienced just a bit of rain, which is very unusual. The rain should have stopped about 3 weeks ago, definitely. So everything has been shifted and has been delayed, which is very bad for the farmers, because in many areas of India, whole regions are still flooded and they cannot sow the crops. And then in green, you have the biodiversity components, and that is the tropical reefs or the boreal forests up in the north. And these forests are also on fire. Right now, you might have heard last year there were 2,000 wildfires in Canada, and the whole of Canada was on fire, and you can't do anything because Canada is so big and so few people. So it's just burning, you know, because of less rains or precipitation. So that's why the climate is changing, and it's all interconnected. And if one of these major points changes, it may affect other points also. And that's what's happening right now, and that's why we have more and more of this strange weather. So what is in the pipeline? So we have on one side rising temperatures, and because of the rising temperatures, we have more and worse storms. And you might have heard of, what was the name, Helena in US just recently? Helena, that Hurricane Helena or Elena or something, was the worst after Katrina. I think 300-400 people died, and huge damage in the US. And everywhere where you look, there are storms, landslides, heavy rains, and so on, typhoons. We have more and worse forest fires. We have animal extinction, which has already started. We have also a lot of effect on human health. 2 years ago was a heat wave in Europe, and they estimated 40,000 people in Europe died in the wake of the heat wave. So we have more heat-related issues. But we have also more and worse droughts all around the world. And then one aspect which is also not often recognized is the rising sea levels. Normally the sea rises about 3 millimeters per year, but that has accelerated, and it's rising now 5 to 7 millimeters per year. And when one of these big chunks of glaciers or in the North Pole or South Pole, when these big chunks of ice break off or big glaciers slide into the ocean, water may rise significantly more. And this is affecting all the low-lying lands around the world. And all this climate change has already a massive economic impact. They're estimating the damage last year around $400 billion, and the numbers are rising. So it actually would be cheaper now to deal with the climate change and repair our emissions than to pay the bill for the damage. It's quite interesting, huh? Would be cheaper to avoid the CO2 emissions and switch to renewable energies instead of paying for the damage. And then of course this has a lot of bad effects also for our food security. Farmers all around the world are in a very dramatic situation because they don't know when to plant their crops and what will come out and so on. So food security is being affected. So these are the bad news which I summarize, and we all can see that our earth is in big trouble. You all made it to Mount Abu, and we're here from the mountains. We can see the earth as a sick patient, which is a bit sort of knocked out in a battle. And we have wars, we have overpopulation, climate change, environmental problem, economic crisis, and even pandemics going on still all the time. So we're in a very dramatic time, in a high-speed time of transformation. So we came in the right time here to Mount Abu to sort of dwell into spirituality and inner transformation. So now one thing which is very important, despite all these news which are happening outside, on the inside we should really all stay optimistic. You see here we have two animals. One is a big elephant, he's mid-air, and he's jumping, and he's very sure that little monkey will catch him, and we have little monkey who's catching the elephant, and little monkey thinks, I will hold the elephant. So two very optimistic animals. And that should be our mindset. We are mid-air, we're flying mid-air, we have left security of this planet, we have yet not reached a golden age or a new era, so we are mid-air and we are flying, but we should be optimistic about the outcome. Because difficult times are our greatest opportunity to raise and to transform the self and the world. And this crisis is a chance for us to change and a chance for humanity to fix that behaviors and that kind of lifestyle which is not sustainable and which is not just. So, and because of all these issues and problems, the Brahma Kumaris has founded a environmental initiative more than in 2009, I think, when the climate conference in Copenhagen happened, and Sister Sonia, which was introduced before, she's one of the founding members, and she had the idea and sort of is the secretary of the Environment Initiative. And we have, we're going to UN climate conferences, but also to UN, other UN conferences, and we propagate an inner change of lifestyle, of thoughts, of behaviors, of emotion, which will bring a change into our actions and then subsequently also help planet Earth. So we have 10 ways to change on the inside: be positive, be loving, be authentic, eat well, and so on. And we propagate and promote that people become change makers, dreamers, mediators, and so on. And we have also a lot of activities for our centers. We have a plastic-free initiative, we have a tree plantation, travel compensation, guidelines for the centers how to become green, we have a regular newsletter, we have a disaster preparation, and we have a green day, which we do here also regular in Mount Abu. And we're trying to raise the awareness amongst the members of the Brahma Kumaris and the centers to go more and more green. You know, there's a lot of things what can be done. And on the other hand, we also go to, as I said, to many United Nations conferences, and we are also started research and demonstration of clean technology, of solar technology, and the power we are using right now here in Gyan Sarovar is coming from solar energy. And as I said, we are registered since many years with the United Nations, and you can see here all the different UN bodies we are affiliated. So Brahma Kumaris is affiliated to 5, 6, 7 different UN bodies, and that's quite a process to get affiliated. You have to apply, they scrutinize you, they look into your finances, and they ask what you want to do, and this and that, and this and that. And since last, since 2009, myself, Sonia, and Sister Genti also, whom you met already, we had the opportunity, amongst others also, to go to the UN Climate Conference. Here's a photo of our green team last year in Dubai, and We go there, and we had in Dubai, for example, 60 programs and talks. And here you can see our youth delegation, our youngsters, and we had a stand and an exhibition. But we also had press conferences, and we also worked very closely at the interreligious dialogue. There has been a faith pavilion, and Brahma Kumaris is one of the founding organizations of the interreligious dialogue at the United Nations for Climate Change. So we tried to bring together different religions, spiritual people, and formulate a common strategy. And then we work out a resolution, and we sort of present this every year to the presidency of the United Nations, and we're trying to create a united front, a united voice of religion towards climate change and what could be done. Because 70-80% of the people, they are following one or the other faith, and so it's very important to bring these people into the boat and mobilize them. And here you can see also our studio. Last year we started a studio at the climate conference. Was called Care, Share and Inspire, Climate Wisdom from the COP. And we have we had 14 sessions, interviews, and we invited scientists, activists, YouTube stars. You know, now they're not film stars, they're YouTube stars. You know, so I just learned today that the whole thing has changed. And people from Vatican, scientists, and we interviewed them, politicians, and so on. And we interviewed them, what is your strategy, how to position yourself in the midst of climate change? What is your answer? What is your ideas? What are your concepts? And a lot of very, very good ideas have been shared, and this is still all online available in our Brahma Kumaris Echo YouTube channel. Here's a picture from the Faith Pavilion. Sister Maureen, she got an award, and we got interviewed, we had program, and so on. We also propagate on the climate conferences a green lifestyle, rethink the 5 R's, rethink before you take any decision, do I really need this, do I really have to buy this, do I really have to travel by plane, maybe I can go by ship or I can go by train. Can I reuse something instead of buying always new? Can I reduce my consumption, my energy consumption? Can I recycle? And can I refuse to follow all fashion trends? These are the 5 R's, and everybody can sort of look a bit in his personal life, where can I make a bit of a difference, or where can I inspire my company or my organization I'm working in to go a little bit more green. We also propagate a vegetarian or vegan diet. This is one of the biggest personal contribution you can do. Vegan has the lowest carbon footprint. The animals like it, the planet like it. Everybody's happy if we all go vegan. And at least vegetarian is a must if you are sort of aware about climate change and think what I can do on a personal level. Your diet is one of the biggest contributor. Yeah, so this is a bit about activities of Brahma Kumaris in the field of UN. Much, much more has happened, much, much more is going on, but time is as it is. So I'm stopping here, and I share now a bit what we're doing in the field of renewable energies, solar energies. When I came to Brahma Kumaris in 1985, I came first time to Mount Abu. This was a very tiny little hill station, and we came actually by steam engine, you know, by steam train, and it was quite different. And there was a small tiny road and small little taxi you came up, and Mount Abu, frequent power cuts, sometimes no diesel, sometimes not this, not that, but a lot of sunshine. So the idea came up, why not to install or introduce renewable energies to the institution? So we are meanwhile probably the biggest institutional user of solar energy in India. And we started research in photovoltaic, solar steam cooking, water recycling, solar hot water, in solar architecture, solar thermal power, and energy efficiency. And here you can see a picture which is backside of the hall, just behind here. And this is our solar photovoltaic installation. And Brahma Kumaris has now installed, we have 5,000 meditation centers, registered meditation centers in India. And 500 of them are equipped with a photovoltaic system. And we have a total capacity of 3 megawatt. And here in Gyan Sarovar, we're right now installing 400 kilowatt extra. And we also have just today started a new solar cooking system. So I'm going to show you that. You see here, this is the old solar cooking system which we installed in 1997. This was based on dishes, and the dishes followed the sun and concentrated the sunlight. And in the focus, everything became hot. We had a water cascade there. Its water started boiling, and we sent the steam down into the kitchen. That system was 25 years ago, and last year we had to scrap it because it fell apart. And then we did a lot of research, and we came up with a new system, which is this one. So when you are in the kitchen and you go up on the top floor, you will see now a big field of photovoltaic. It's a 160 kilowatt photovoltaic system with a big inverter, and we have a massive battery bank. This is just brand new, and we generate electricity, store it, and today we connected the 300 liters induction cooking vessels. And we cooked in the morning the first meal with solar power with induction cooking. So we have, 300 liter vessel. It's not a small induction, it's a special one. This took almost 2 years, the whole project, from planning, organizing, getting things done. These vessels are customs made, they're not easily available. And the technician is there. And now we have 3 pots, so the kitchen crew already wants some more pots, which is quite funny. Okay, I'm getting a note. Okay, yes, and I get the message that we have some guests from the Global Summit here. Welcome. Is it that, Sonia? I should welcome them? Oh, for me to know. From the GIZ. Ah, yeah. Oh, hello. Yes. German government. Oh, you're coming in the right time. So here's the solar cooker. And this previous solar cooker, this one, was sponsored by the GIZ and was working very nicely. And so here you can see the new system. And we have 3 pots now, and if you go in the kitchen, you can see them. And the kitchen crew already wants more now, because the induction cooking is so fast, it's so clean, no extra heat. You just push on the button, and the heat is there immediately, and it's fantastic. And it's a big relief also for the kitchen crew. And now I would like to introduce and share a new project. It's called India One, and not a new project. We started 15 years ago. And this was a 1 megawatt solar thermal power plant, which we built in Abu Road. And this was partly financed by the GIZ, by the German government, by the Ministry of Environment, BMBU, and by the Indian government. And the total budget was $12 million. It was a quite big project. And Brahma Kumaris supported the project, IndiaCare, and we did... We teamed up with some of the big research institute, Fraunhofer Institute. It took us 8 years to build that power plant. And this power plant was built on 770 dishes of 60 square meter each. So the sunlight is being reflected by these dishes, reflected onto a receiver. And we heat up the receiver to 550 degrees. Inside the receiver is 2 tons of cast iron. We heat up the cast iron to 500 degrees. There's a coil. We pump water through the coil, and then more coils and more heat and more steam, and then it goes to a turbine, and the turbine turns, and we produce electricity, 1 megawatt peak, which we're sending to our campus. And because we have so much of cast iron receivers, 770 receivers out of 2 tons each, we have a huge thermal storage. Means a huge amount of hot iron, and the heat stays overnight and we can store the energy. And this is a flagship project by the German and the Indian government, and you are welcome on your way to home to make a stop at the India One solar power station. The plant is there, and we added recently 1 megawatt of photovoltaic and another megawatt we added. So we add and we send the power to our Shantivan complex. This plant is now running since 6 years. At the moment the turbine is undergoing overhauling, and but I think within 2 weeks or so we should get go operational again. Yeah, and very recently we built up a new biogas plant, also there with waste management, and the speciality is that now in the campuses everywhere we're segregating the waste, we're collecting it separate, and the organic waste is going into a big digester where it ferments, creates biogas, and with the biogas we run a generator already 8 hours, a 50 kilowatt generator, produce electricity and produce very beautiful sludge or fertilizer. And this is the biogas plant. Actually, yesterday we just went there. Or was it this morning? No, yesterday. Yesterday we went there and we took just a nice photo with the greenery and the trees and everything. So that's also next to the India One power station. And this is German design, its latest design, and it's also a landmark project in India. And many government officials and communities are coming now. And they say, please, Brahma Kumaris, help us build the plant for us. We are saying, no. We will give you the design, but you have to build it and finance yourself. You know, it's very funny. So they come to us and they want to see, because this solves the waste problem which we have in India. You might have seen that a lot of rubbish is lying around, and such a plant is helping a lot. We have also a tree plantation program called Kaltaru, and there we are having an online app which you can download. You can plant a tree, take a photo, upload the photo, and you can say, hello guys, I planted the trees, and it's online, it shows up on a map, and you're responsible to water the trees, and we already have planted 3 million trees around the world, and the numbers are growing. Trees are our friends, and they protect the climate. They are protectors, so we should all plant trees. Very, very important. Yeah, we have also a very interesting project. Now I'm dwelling a little bit into science and spirituality. I come to the spiritual part now. I was asked to talk a bit also about the spiritual connection. We have a project called Sustainable Yogic Farming, in which we are teaching, it's going on since 10 years, and we are teaching farmers to meditate, to have good intention and good wishes towards the seed and towards the land. Good seeds, for example, I love you, you're very good, you will grow very nicely, no bugs will touch you, you will have increased resilience against drought and this and that. And so we teach the farmers to do that, and we also teach them to stop drinking and smoking, which is very beneficial. And the result is very, very interesting. Here you see the carrots, for example. You see normal carrots, or chemical, you know, with fertilizer. You see the yogic carrots, and you see organic carrots. And you see the yogic carrots are the biggest. But what is very interesting, we have sent the carrots for examination, nutritional analyzers to laboratories, and the yogic carrots have the highest nutritional value. Isn't that interesting? And no fertilizer, no bugs, and they have more resilience. Isn't that nice? Just by loving them every day a bit. You know, you're very nice, you're growing very nice. Who has plants at home? Are you talking to your plants? Yes, you see, everybody does it naturally. And we confirmed the findings with a university. We work with a university. We have published also papers. And here you can see the difference between wheat with meditation, without meditation. And there's a webpage, yogiketi.org. And you will find a lot of information and programs there. And we have a rural wing, which is very, very active. So many projects are going on. We have also farms in Shantivan. We have everywhere some farms, and we're everywhere trying organic alternative methods. And the Indian government is very interested in this project. And we're identifying right now 70 farms in India where we apply this method, and we work also with the Indian government to roll out this on a larger scale. So what does it tell us? When I have a good intention, I have an effect in two physical systems. And Leonardo da Vinci said, realize that everything connects to everything else. This is also something we teach here at the Brahma Kumaris. It's the power of thoughts. And it goes even further. Our own thoughts and visions, they do create the reality. Isn't that interesting? I love my trees, I love my plants, and they grow better, you know? And there's a lot of science going on, especially in latest science findings, where research indicates, in quantum physics, where research indicates actually that our mind is all the time connected to the physical reality. Some scientists, they are assuming that there is something called a quantum field, and our consciousness is all the time connected to the quantum field, is communicating with the quantum field, is part of the quantum field, and the quantum field creates the reality. So the reality is a result of our observation and of our collective thoughts. There's a lot of science in that also, which is an entirely different topic, and there's definitely no time to dwell more deeply into that. But be assured that many, many scientists, they're coming more and more close to the understanding that we are connected. Consciousness, our mind, is much, much bigger than we thought it is. Connected to the universe, we're talking all the time to the world, and what we see with our eyes is a result of our consciousness, of our collective consciousness, of all of us. And what happens in the world is a reflection, is a mirror of what happens on the inside. And that is also one of our sort of key messages we are spreading at the UN conference, that my inner world and my outer world are interconnected. And if I heal my inner world, I'm healing my outer world. So that brings us to the next topic, how to heal the self and how to heal the world. And that is a very, very interesting topic, because now we come to the action part where it gets very, very interesting. We come to the magic. We come to the unlimited potential which a positive mind actually has. So our mind actually comprises out of our thoughts, our feelings, and our visualizations. So, okay, we have positive thoughts. All right, done. We bring our emotions under control. Okay, also done. And we have loving and positive visualizations of the future. Also done. But somehow things are not immediately changing. Why? Because we are also dealing with the karma of the past. Karma means basically action and the result of the action. And I came across a very interesting book about a Indian scientist, and he postulates that there is an effect of the karma or the actions of the past of us humans into the climate which we're experiencing right now. And he says the world was driven since long time by greed, by ego, and by a lack of awareness. And that has caused long time ago a lot of problems. And this scientist is Amitav Ghosh, and he has written a book called The Nutmeg's Curse. And it's very interesting if you read that book, because he says 500 years ago, there were these Western civilizations. It was usually greedy white men. And they thought, hey, we are superior and we can grab the whole world and exploit it. And they started colonialism. You know, they just went with their ships, killed the locals, cut down the local forest, sold all the costly wood, and then they planted monocultures, sugarcane, cotton wool, and so on, and so on, and so on. And by this, they disrupted the local traditional ecological system, and the carbon emission went straight up because of the monocultures. So you read this book, and he makes the case with the nutmeg, which was growing in the Java Sea at a little island, and then the Dutch became very greedy about the nutmeg because one bag of nutmegs could buy you a house in Amsterdam in the 15th century. So one captain decided to massacre the local population and take over the nutmeg production. And the Dutch got rich with the nutmeg monopoly for 200 years. Isn't that interesting? So he says that deforestation, monocultures, exploitation, mining, overconsumption, dirty technology, meat consumption and wars started a couple of hundred years ago. All these actions, they accumulated into the situation we have right now, and that's called bad karma. Bad actions of the past which are hunting us. Now you may think, okay, how does it affect me? Now you have to look on something very deep spiritual. You have to look into your energetic field or into your aura. And here are some very interesting pictures. This is very standard nowadays. Since 10 years it is very well known. It's about karma and how the action or your karma are being recorded with you, with your own aura or your energy field. And you see that we all have a energy field around us. That's our aura. It can be measured now with different photographic systems, Galerian photography, but also with several other scanning devices. And you can see here also the aura. An aura can be big, it can be shiny, it can be have different colors. If you are very angry, you get a red aura. If you're very enlightened, you are getting orange and violet color. And I can see a lot of violet enlightened colors now here after 4 days peace of mind. and what happened is your energy field records all your actions straight away. And we carry the whole history of all of our lives within our energy field. And that is why if you decide to do good and heal the planet, it's not immediately giving fruits, because your aura is not yet there. You still have an aura which is loaded with the karma or the actions of the past. Whatever we did, it's still visible in our energy field. Also diseases, sicknesses, etc., mental traumas, everything is recorded. And what we do in meditation, we connect to the divine light, to the supreme being, and we start healing our aura, our energy field. We connect to the pure source of energy, to the divine light, and allow this light to come inside our own aura and start healing slowly, slowly that negativity, that darkness, the shadows, the dark, the low vibrations, and slowly we get those vibrations out of our own system. And that's how we actually heal ourselves. And once we start healing ourselves, the vibrations start rising. Once the vibration, the energy field starts rising, we have a totally different impact into our environment and we become a healer. We heal the self and then we start healing the world. And that's a tremendous challenge for all of us, because we have the opportunity to do something. We're not helpless in front of climate change and wars and all these big problems out there. We can become change makers. And if we all heal our aura, our energy field, if we bring our mind, make it loving and compassionate, we have definitely a noticeable impact. There has also a lot of research being done on the impact of a positive mindset. I'm not going into details. This is a total presentation by itself. But I would like to introduce Daddy Junkie to you. Daddy Junkie was my mentor, and many of us know her. She was for many, many years the head of the administrative head of the institution, and she left us 3 years ago at the age of 103, and she was a great, great, great source of inspiration. And Daddy spoke once about karma, and I never forget it, and I like to share it with you. And Daddy said there are three signs of karma. The first thing is, you want something and it doesn't happen. Or we want to heal the world and it doesn't happen immediately. It's a sign of karma. You're not allowed to do it immediately because your own energy field doesn't allow it yet. Second sign is, suddenly something happens to you. You're slipping on a banana and you're lying in the hospital and you wonder why I have slipped on the banana. Because your karma was there and waiting to you. And the third sign is, you're suffering from interactions with relatives or friends. they don't love you, they don't respect you, they don't see your qualities, etc., etc., etc. Who's experienced 1, 2, or number 3? Hands up. Okay. Welcome to the club members of karmically suffering individuals. And that's why we are all here, to settle our karma. And Dadi said there's a very easy method to deal with that, and that is regular meditation. Meditation or yoga means I consider myself being a being of light, a soul, Atma, and I connect to the Supreme Being. By doing so, I establish an energy connection, a corridor, an energy corridor with the Supreme Light, with a higher vibration. I allow the light to come and come into my own aura, into my energy field. And I'm starting slowly, slowly to chase away that shadow, that darkness. And then I can become a helper of God. I become loving and compassionate. And I become a healer for the world and a guide to the light. And this is an angel. You see, beautiful angel there holding the world. And that's what we're learning here at the Brahma Kumaris, to all become angels, to heal our aura, feel our own little wings, and hold the world and start healing the world with our hands. And then if you are in such a mindset, climate change becomes very small, wars become very small, economic crisis becomes very small, because you become loving and compassionate. You become detached observer, you are with the divine light, you become a helper of the divine light, and you help the world, which is a very, very satisfying activity. So what we have to do is we have to let go anger, hatred, bitterness, frustration, all these balloons. We all have to let them go. Can we all let go the balloons with all our weaknesses and all our angers and trigger points we have from childhood, from the school, from the education, and so on? That's what we learn here, to let go the balloons of negativity. So, that's what you learn here. Think positive about yourself. Bless you in the morning when you get up. That's why we do the meditation. I'm very good. I will have a very nice day. All around me are my friends. They're very, very good. You learn positive thinking. Then once you master, you start thinking about others and send it into the world, to our politicians, to all the famous people you know. You send good vibrations. You send thoughts of benevolence and blessings to them. And then you think positive and loving about the world. You can think about climate, you can think about nature, you can think about the trees, you can think about the oceans, about pollution, and you can start healing the world, because everything is connected to the level of vibration. And when you become a yogi, you start exercising to control the vibrations. And once you master them, you become a master and you become an angel. So, there was a very nice song by John Lennon. Imagine all the people, da deedle da loo. I'm not singing the song to the end, but it was a very nice song, Imagine the Perfect World. And here we talk a lot about Satyuga, the next golden age. In Christianity is called paradise. It's a beautiful world, it's our future. And this is something we basically dream about it, we think about it, and we invite it in our heart. And by that is going to come and happen. So we heal our heart and then we heal the world. And this is the ultimate aim and object of the peace of mind retreat here, coming all the way to Mount Abu, to inspire all of you to understand those connections between what's going on in the world and what's going on the inside. Why my thoughts have such an impact, why vibration is so important, and how can I deal with that, and how can I start to get rid of my own inner darkness and my own inner trigger points. And it's a pathway. It's not that you do it from one second to the other, because you have to deal with your own karma, your actions of the past, and you have to go through them. But meditation is the powerful tool to heal the aura. And once we all join hands, it's becoming easy. It is said only 2% of a population are required to build up a critical mass, you know, and then change is being initiated. And I can see here the 2%. You're part of the 2%. And the world will be healed by the healers, by the yogis. We will bring the light to the world, and this will ultimately heal the world and bring the change we all want to see in the world. So, thanks very much for the time you spent with me. And here you can see some web pages. We have Brahma Kumaris Echo. You find a lot of information about our environment programs. Also news about the next climate conference in Baku. We're planning, we're already deep in planning, and we are having again a studio there, which will be very interesting. And we invite you to join us there with our YouTube channel. So you can go to our Brahma Kumaris Echo webpage. We have Yogis for Future, where we have 150 to 200 meditation commentaries, 5 minutes long, very nice. All our good meditators, they talk about meditation, peace for the self, love for others, building up resilience and inner strength, finding sleep in the night, etc., etc., etc. Whatever you want, you will find a meditation for that. And we have a Solar Brahma Kumaris, where you find update on the Brahma Kumaris solar activities. So, thank you very much. Here in the front, we have a couple of 25 of our brochures on environment and yogis for future, and maybe you have some questions. Thank you, Om Shanti.
Thank you, Golo, very much.
Go to our webpage and you find information there, okay?
Thank you, it's on the webpage. Beautiful. Question? No? Everyone happy and fully satisfied with all that wonderful technical as well as spiritual information? It was quite a marvellous combination, Golo. I love it. Thank you. Well, in that case, we're going to have
Frankie,
a little something
a
special.
I think there's a question.
There is one.
The question is how long they meditate for the yogis for future, for the seats. I think every morning 10 minutes and every evening 10 minutes. And it's like creating positive intentions specifically towards the seat. So you're sitting in front of the seat, you know, you really take the seat in a bowl and you meditate 1 week before you plant the seeds. You start meditating with them and charging them energetically. You say, you're very good, I love you, you will grow very nicely, you will have full resilience, no bugs can harm you, etc. And the same thing you do with the land. And you concentrate on the soil, on the healthiness of the soil. You say the soil will be very good, it will keep the water very nicely, and you bless also the land. And interestingly, in old days, in Europe, in Christianity, the farmers, they invited the church, and the priest was going before the sowing season. They were in spring, they were going over the fields and give blessings to the fields. So it's something we were doing in old days, but we have forgotten to do it, you know. So it's just like having positive intention in a regular, organized manner over a longer period of time. And then it's going to work. That's the result of our research.
Thank you, Golo. So down here, Golo has a small number of booklets about the creating a climate change, and then there are a number of these little bookmarks for yogis for the future, if you'd like to collect that. Thank you, Golo, very much. Wonderful.